This is Gavin Dahl with the KVNF Regional Newscast. Coming up, a look at what happens to health data in communities hit hard by COVID-19. Plus, Republicans are asking Governor Jared Polis to call a special session of the legislature focused on plans for the upcoming school year. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
Mesa County schools are making plans to reopen for in-person learning in August. The district unveiled plans for Mesa County Valley School District 51 at a school board meeting on Tuesday, reports the Grand Junction Sentinel. The reopening date is August 17th, and the plans for elementary, middle, and high schools incorporate mask requirements, symptom screening, and classroom procedures meant to limit the spread of the virus. An online-only alternative is also available. The push to reopen Mesa County schools has gained momentum from a survey that showed a drop in academic performance and mental and physical safety of students after transitioning to online-only learning. Teachers, however, are still concerned that returning to the classroom isn't safe, citing potential complications such as quarantines, struggles to implement and enforce policies, decreasing school budgets, teacher shortages, shooter drills, and transportation. A rare fish got more water this week. The Colorado Water Conservation Board announced that it has received a water right on Himes Creek in the San Juan National Forest to protect a unique population of cutthroat trout. The fish in Himes Creek are genetically pure Colorado River cutthroats from a lineage of trout that is native to the San Juan River Basin and was previously thought to be extinct. Researchers estimate that the total number of San Juan lineage trout in all known populations is perhaps 1,000. The Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests, known as the GMUG, have been chosen to provide the 2020 Capitol Christmas tree. That includes the large tree, which will be displayed at the Capitol building, plus 70 smaller trees to be located at federal buildings throughout Washington, D.C. Going to D.C. along with the trees will be ornaments made locally by students, artists, and citizens to represent the regions of western and central Colorado that the Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests are in. The GMUG is asking local residents to help make a total of 10,000 ornaments. More information can be found at uscapitalchristmastree.com. For KVNF News, this is Jody Peterson.
Republican state lawmakers are asking Governor Jared Polis to call a special session so they can tackle education issues before school starts this fall. Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Senators want to pass a bill giving parents an option to take public money so they can educate their children at home during the coronavirus pandemic. Supporters say it would help keep children safe while letting parents hire their own teachers and purchase broadband. But Polis is rejecting the call for a special session, saying the Republican plan would hurt public schools.
That proposal would result in less choices for parents, by forcing the closure of some schools and some of the online programs that already exist in our state.
Democratic lawmakers are calling the request a, quote, political stunt. Meanwhile, Polis is encouraging schools that are not having students return in person to use their buildings to offer daycare. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
COVID-19 has hit indigenous communities hard. It's also bringing up a big question. Who owns health data when it comes to tribes? As the Mountain West News Bureau's Ray Allen Bichelle reports, the answer is complicated.
Imagine if your state health department put out a press release specifically naming your family and listing the number of your family members with COVID-19. Ken Lucero says that's exactly how it felt in April when New Mexico announced a COVID hotspot in the Pueblo of Zia.
We kind of felt like, you know, someone was just airing dirty laundry or just, you know, coming in and invading our privacy at a very private moment.
Lucero is a tribal administrator with the Pueblo, home to about 900 people. He and his colleagues knew how many people were sick, but they didn't think it was the right time to share that information with people outside of the tribe. They were trying to coordinate how to keep people safe without making them panic, organize food and water donations, and figure out how to basically shut down the village.
There was such chaos and so much uncertainty about what was going on and how it was seeming to be unraveling for us.
He says the last thing they needed was to have to wonder what kind of discrimination the community might experience because they were now branded as a COVID hotspot, and to have to ask, what's the point of being a sovereign nation if you aren't treated like one at a critical moment?
We are sovereign nations. The information about our people is ours. It should be ours to control and to allow the use of it. And anything less than consultation or requesting permission is unacceptable.
There's a name for what Lucero just described. It's called data sovereignty, and it's something that tribes and researchers like Stephanie Carroll have been fighting for a lot lately.
We really need to have Indigenous data by and for Indigenous peoples.
Carroll is Associate Director for the Native Nations Institute at the University of Arizona, where she's also a professor of public health. And she's Atna from the native village of Klutika in Alaska. She co-founded the U.S. Indigenous Data Sovereignty Network, which tries to ensure that tribes have control over data about their people and that it's used to advance their well-being. Then the pandemic hit.
Some places where we thought we might have made progress in asserting the rights of tribes to be at the table or asserting the ethical responsibilities for working with Indigenous peoples, we see that that's not really the case.
Some states began sharing tribes' COVID-19 information without their permission, although she says there were notable exceptions, like Arizona. It releases zip code level COVID-19 data, but suppresses the numbers about tribes until or unless a tribe agrees to it. Abigail Echohawk says good data sharing practices are just one element of data sovereignty.
American Indians and Alaska Natives are some of the most racially misclassified within hospital records.
Echohawk is a citizen of the Pawnee Nation of Oklahoma, and she directs the Urban Indian Health Institute. It's one of 12 tribal epidemiology centers in the country. She says a huge issue right now is the fact that people are being misclassified by hospital staff as white or Latinx or something else.
And the implications of that are is we effectively disappear within the data.
According to the nonpartisan APM Research Lab, only about half of U.S. states report Indigenous COVID deaths. The others either haven't seen Indigenous deaths due to the virus, or they lump them into a category called other. And to Echohawk, that misstep isn't just a bureaucratic glitch. It's an act of violence.
I believe that eliminating us in the data through racial misclassification and non-collection of the data is an ongoing act of institutional racism that is resulting in the continuing genocide of American Indians and Alaska Natives. It effectively eliminates us. And as a direct result of that, then the resources that our community needs aren't being directed to us because the government is making data-driven decisions.
And data-driven decisions are only as good as the data they're based on.
And we know right now that that data is really, really bad.
But at this exact moment, Echohawk is focused on a more basic hurdle, getting access to CDC health data for the millions of Indigenous people who live in cities, not on tribal lands, the vast majority. It's data, she says, would help tribes and states get a handle on the virus in these vulnerable communities. She said she did get a sliver of data about COVID-19 testing.
However, the CDC has continued to refuse full access to the data.
A group of senators, including some from New Mexico, Arizona, and Montana, are calling on the CDC to explain why it appears to be withholding the data. In a statement, the agency said it's working with tribal epidemiology centers and expects to begin transferring COVID-19 case data this month. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Raelynn Bichelle.
That concludes the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.